it's really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Welcome to Monday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here with the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Nice to be back. We'll talk to the folks from Chicago Inno in just a moment or two. You heard the voice of Elise Glink there as well. You know, Bernie Sanders and a group of other Democrats talked about free tuition for all and debt forgiveness when it comes to student loan debt. We'll talk to Elise about that. I'm just back from a week in Switzerland with a group of WGN listeners. We had the best time, thanks to Elise for filling in for me last week, but just a beautiful group, beautiful country, great weather. I know Dave Ennett's got a group in Italy right now, and there's one trip left that we're just announcing for this year. Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis will have a lot to talk about later today, I would think, but they are going to lead a group to London, and that's in October. October 3rd is the departure. The reason we bring it up is because it involves a big football game happening in London during that. You can put the pieces together and find out information at WGNradio.com. I'll try to give you more a little bit later, but we have to say hello to Jim Dahlke, Catherine Davis, the folks from Chicago Inno back in the studio. Welcome back to both of you.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
You behaved while I was gone, I'm sure.
It's great to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Now, I know that when we talk a little bit later with Amy Guth from the Daily Gist, that she's going to talk about the safety recommendations coming out from the federal government, I think, about scooters. But we're 10 days into the Chicago scooter experiment now. And I don't have, I've been gone. Have there been any horror stories?
Well, in Chicago, I don't think so. So, I mean, it's funny you say that. I mean, I think Nashville, I think, is the city where they're actually pulling the scooters out after a fatality.
Well, right? That's been a few weeks, hasn't it?
It has. So okay. That's going to be a really interesting, I think, test case to see kind of how other cities address issues that come up, because inevitably, you know, there will be problems with a brand new form of transportation that you haven't seen before, right? So there are going to be things that people are going to have to figure out. And one is going to be what happens after a fatality.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but the victim there came out of a club or a bar and jumped on a scooter and went into an intersection?
I'm less familiar with the specific details on what's happening in Nashville, just that the fact that they're thinking about pulling them out. Yeah.
Catherine, have you ridden one yet? You're the one most likely to ride one around here. You're the city dweller.
Not yet, but I have seen them. I saw them in the West Loop, actually, the weekend that they arrived in Chicago. And just based on what I've been seeing on Twitter, it seems like people's biggest complaints is that people are riding them on the sidewalks and not in the bike lanes or in the streets where they're supposed to.
Yeah, they complained about the messenger's bikes as well until they were disappeared by the internet, I guess. Okay, let's talk about, I mean, I have a ghost bed at home, my wife and I. It was really cool. We needed a new bed that came in a box. We cut it open, it expanded, and then we flopped it onto our bedstand, right? And now this is happening with furniture as well.
That's right. So, you know, all the mattress startups that you're probably familiar with, whether it's Casper or Elisa or Purple, there is a startup called Burrow, which is basically the Casper, but for couches. They're doing the kind of in-a-box modular furniture delivery, basically delivering sofas and chairs to your house.
Is it the same sort of thing that it's a foam piece of furniture?
So basically it comes all packaged up in a box. It's all sort of modular, but it's not necessarily foam.
So it's more like IKEA than it would be foam.
Yeah, it's more IKEA, but it's kind of like a level up from sort of the IKEA price point and style. So basically what Burrow does is, you know, allow you to sort of shop, and rather than lug a couch and a chair, you know, from the store, they can get it delivered right in a box you put together when it comes to your home. And they've recently opened a Chicago brick and mortar shop.
Okay, so Catherine, it's been pointed out to me before that sometimes we're reinventing things that already exist. Isn't this like going to Macy's and picking out a couch and having someone deliver it?
Well, it's a little different because I think, you know, they are able to get the price down. So this is a cheaper alternative than like your typical furniture store. And, you know, especially designed for city dwellers who, you know, may not have access to your, you know, the kind of furniture stores that might be out in the suburbs with big showrooms. And then, of course, the delivery component really helps out.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question, Jim. Isn't this the same old thing?
So, yes. So, one thing that it's doing differently, too, is the e-commerce element.
Man, you just got the evil eye from Kevin. But.
So, I mean, it's similar and different, right? So, I think the similarity is that, yes, like, you can schedule a delivery once you go in through these showrooms. You know, but what they're able to do is allow you a very, very simplified delivery experience, kind of what Catherine was mentioning, that, you know, this is making it as simple as possible. You don't have to wait around for, you know, the delivery schedulers. You don't have to do a lot of planning, right? This can literally sit on your porch before you get home from work. And
right,
you come in, open it out of the box, pop it together, and now you've got a couch.
You know, it makes me think of, we talked to the guy behind 3Kit a couple of weeks ago, right? And he's Hollywood special effects, and he's taking that to websites now where he's selling, like, for Crate and Barrel and such, if you want to buy a couch from Crate and Barrel where they can outfit it with 1,000 different fabrics and things like that, you can see it on your computer. People who are shopping that way would be inclined to buy a couch from Burrow and have it delivered if they could have seen it fully.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of whole, you know, three-dimensional visualization on websites is something that especially furniture makers are finding to be a huge asset when it's selling stuff online. You know, when you're buying a couch, you know, there might be thousands of different color and fabric and style options that you can choose from. So being able to kind of very specifically see what your future couch will look like will kind of help ease the pain of dropping a couple grand on a new piece of furniture.
Yeah, Ben Houston is the guy who designed software for special effects in movies and talked with us about his product. I don't know, Catherine, would you be willing to buy that, or do you still need? I'm older, so I still think I need to see it in the store.
Well, you know, I think as things like AR have really improved, you can get a really great, you know, depiction of what a product looks like online. So, yeah, I think this is a good product.
I think it's just you can, but it's also just, you know, the people growing up buying things differently. I'm not inclined to do it, but if you grew up buying your stuff with an Amazon button, you know, you're more inclined to give it a try, I think, when it comes to a couch.
I think so. And I think, you know, a lot of these furniture makers and a lot of companies, too, are being, you know, very forgiving with returns, right? Letting you try
right,
it. So it's
right,
like giving
right.
you a window of time if it's, you know, making it as easy
and
to...
And making it easy to return.
Exactly.
You know,
so
just drop it off at the UPS office or things like that.
That's a big piece of that. But yeah, Ben Houston's background is really fascinating. You know, he was working in special effects, basically working with his algorithms and software has been used in Avatar and the Avengers and Harry Potter series and basically every big major blockbuster that's had visual effects. He's kind of been behind that and now brought that to e-commerce.
And I think he's out of Ottawa, Illinois, right?
Yeah, so he's got a really interesting background, you know, being able to like have this office in Canada and also here in Chicago as well, and kind of really like grow this company. They got a $10 million investment from Goddard Abel, who is the founder of G2 Crowd. He's a serial entrepreneur in Chicago, really saw that there was a big interest for this and was able to kind of blow this business up.
Catherine Davis has a story at Chicago Inno about this Chicago startup called Jurnera. I always have our time with it. So my group, we were connecting. We flew from Zurich to Reykjavik, connecting then to the U.S. They were late taking off from Zurich. And I'm so proud of all my passengers because we might have done a little jogging to get to the gate on time to make it. It would have been terrible. We would have missed our flight. There aren't that many from Reykjavik to Chicago. We might have had to stay the night. We would have had to find a hotel or change our car rentals, things like that. And that's the sort of thing that this company, Jurnera, deals with, right?
Right. So basically, they've created a technology that allows travel companies to communicate with each other on, you know, a single traveler's itinerary. So if example, you know, kind of like what you were talking about, if you're traveling, your flight is delayed, Jurnera will contact the car rental service, your hotel, your dinner reservation, any other thing that, you know, you had planned and let them know that you'll be late.
It's like just one interface then, right? I'm going to my Jurnera page and my trip is there.
Exactly.
And so that they will take care of everything.
Yep.
And so this, the extent of this is they just got a patent on their own software.
Exactly. They were issued a U.S. patent for this software last week. And that really puts them in you know, a great position as far as growing this business and kind of warding off competitors.
And they're also backed by Andreessen Horowitz, which is one of the like premier VC funds in Silicon Valley. Not a ton of businesses in Chicago have been backed by Andreessen Horowitz. So anytime you get a business like that, it's, you know, your eyebrows definitely raise. They're also founded by the founder of Orbitz. So lots of industry expertise here behind this business, and, you know, funded with about $9 million in VC too.
So who loses with this business? I mean, I would imagine the individual car rental companies, the hotels, the airlines, they're all winning too, right?
And they're all partnering with this startup. So they have, I think, Hilton and United, and there's lots of the big travel companies who are behind them already because they want to make their travel experience as easy for their customers as well.
And are they willing to just handle things that I buy from other people? Or are they going to start selling me things as well?
So I'm not sure if there's going to be that kind of consumer component to it just yet. You could imagine that they could start selling travel data to some of their B2B clients. Based on, you know, preferences of their of the people booking trips. But we'll have to see.
It's Genera. Is it up and running now? Could I be using it now?
Yep.
Okay, so we'll check that out. And then this is the Business Lunch. So who wouldn't want a Big Mac for lunch? And you can now go and with voice automated to order food in Naperville for a Big Mac?
That's right. So McDonald's is testing some kind of AI voice ordering software in its drive-thru window. So, you know, when you think about job automation, kind of the one of the most clearest sort of obvious examples of that is kind of automating the drive-thru window, right?
Would you supersize that?
Exactly. So what McDonald's is doing is basically testing, you know, this software when you interface with McDonald's at the drive-thru window. And so it's working in the suburbs right now.
So you wouldn't talk to anyone.
That's right.
There'd be a machine listening to you, understanding what you want, and giving you your food.
That's right. So the Wall Street Journal kind of broke this story and kind of had the inside look and said that the technology worked pretty well. Where it doesn't work is when, you know, the customer takes a beat or two too long to respond while they're still thinking about their order, trips up the AI, and then a human has to kind
of
swoop in.
Which
is
going to happen all the time, right? I mean, what do you want in the backseat or things like that? It's going to be difficult to
totally. I mean, and there's a Chicago startup working on this too, and we talked to them a few months ago, and they said some of the biggest issues are when somebody, you know, orders, you know, two bottom buns on a hamburger, right? Like, it's very difficult for the AI to figure that out.
I know McDonald's, all these fast food restaurants, it's really all about the drive-through lane and making it as fast as possible. McDonald's, I think, is the worst of the major fast food companies at 5 minutes in the lane.
And they've invested a lot of technology inside the restaurant, you know, the tablets, they've invested in, you know, delivery through Uber Eats, but yeah, haven't done a ton to the drive-through in terms of speeding things along in a technology, so this is a big step forward.
Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis. Read more at ChicagoInno.com. Also, check out the Inno Minute every morning on the opening bell. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, thank you, Don Kleppen. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. We opened up today talking with the folks from Chicago Inno about the scooters in Chicago. They just dropped, I think, 10 days ago, and there are just now some safety recommendations coming out from the federal government. That is one of the topics in the Daily Gist. We'll talk to Amy Guth about that a little bit later in the program. But right now we say hello to Elise Glink, the publisher of ThinkDinkGlink.com and the CEO of Best Money Moves. And Elise, thank you for filling in for me last week. As you can tell by the way I'm speaking today, maybe you should be sitting here right now.
I think your heart is still over there. And where were you, Switzerland?
It was in Switzerland. It was just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, great food. We stay in the nicest hotels. Some of the nicest hotels I've ever been in, I was in Switzerland last week.
Wow. Well, the pictures that you posted on your Facebook page were stupendous. So if you're not following Steve already, everybody, you should go and follow him.
All right.
The pictures are great.
Bernie Sanders has a lot more followers today as well, right? Because he's promising to get rid of their student debt.
Oh, my gosh. That is probably something like 47 million Americans who have $1.6 almost trillion dollars of student loan debt. And I'm sure they're cheering.
And about a quarter of them are delinquent in one form or another?
About a quarter are delinquent. There are a lot of people who just graduate from college and say, you know what, I'm just not paying this. Now, there's a six-month delay before you actually have to start paying back your student loan bills, and then they do kick in, and they're really impossible to get rid of, and people wind up in a very tough situation.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Elise.
I was just going to say, so they're all really happy with this idea that maybe they don't have to pay them back.
Now, am I wrong, or was there sort of in the 80s where you could just sort of blow off your student loans and no one would come after you? I feel like I remember that.
Well, you know, I think that let's start with, it used to be able to go to bankruptcy court and have them discharged like any other kind of a debt. But there were very few student loans, and the loans that were out there were for relatively small amounts of money.
Right, right.
The huge amount that we're seeing today is all a function, really, of the last 15 years.
Today, the average college graduate could leave school with $30,000 in debt. In the 1990s, it was $10,000. And so I would imagine in the 80s, it was even less than that. Okay, so
right.
Bernie wants to, what, tax Wall Street transactions?
He does, which is really, really interesting. So he's proposing a 0.5% fee on all stock trades. So if you did a $1,000 trade, you'd pay a $50 fee, a 1/10% fee on all bond trades, and a 5,000th fee, that's 0.005% on all derivative trades. And he says that over 10 years, that would generate $2 trillion, and that's what he would use to pay this off.
Okay, so if I'm my kids, or really me, I think this is a great idea. I want their debt erased. But if I'm someone who paid off his college debt and doesn't have a kid in college accruing debt, how will he convince me or that sort of person that they should pay a second time to forgive the debt for someone they don't even know?
Well, that's really the rub, right? He's trying to find things to tax that don't pass along to regular, typical people. So an average American, only half of Americans have stock in any form,
okay.
You know, a 401k or on it. So half of Americans wouldn't even pay anything, is his thinking. And then you've got this derivatives, which is really very high-end money stuff. This is the stuff that kind of cratered the whole economy back 11 years ago, were these derivative trades where people were actually, not people, but sort of companies were buying things that were so complex that they didn't even know what they were buying, but their broker told them this was a good deal. So he's trying to tax them instead of individual people.
And Senator Sanders not only wants to forgive past debt, he wants to make future college education free.
Right, and we saw that the last time around when he ran for president. So he was promising then that all public colleges and universities would be free, and his thinking is, well, we're already paying taxes to support those, so we might as well make them free. Maybe it's in-state tuition or what have you, but he doesn't want to see this kind of generational debt load going forward.
I traveled in Europe, and one of the things that comes up is education and higher education. Switzerland, they don't pay for higher education. It's part of they pay for through taxation and other forms, but there is no sort of crushing tuition fee in Switzerland. It's the same, I know, in Ireland and elsewhere as well. It's not as if it's free. It's being paid for in one way or another, but not the system we have. So imagine, if you will, a world where college was free and college debt was forgiven. What would that do to this economy here?
Well, I think it's hard to even imagine what it would do to the economy. I mean, you're talking about taking trillions of dollars out of the economy, and it's hard to understand how all of that would get paid for. So there's a little bit more to that story. In Europe, it's true that some countries don't charge for college tuition, but it is also true that only a tiny fraction of the people who want to go to college can actually go.
Right.
And so there's definitely a trade-off. In England and in Canada, both countries that have socialized health care, you actually see a tremendous amount of student loan debt and a huge amount of overall financial stress. In fact, in terms of living paycheck to paycheck, Canadians are somewhere in the 72% to 73%, I think, and the UK residents are at 74% registering high or moderately high financial stress. And part of that reason is they have high housing costs, but they also have student loan debt. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
It's weird. There are trade-offs, obviously. And I know in Ireland, I have family there, but, you know, you take exams to go to college, and then they sort of place you in a major in some ways.
They do.
Which is, you know, it's hard to imagine here in the United States that you couldn't pick what you want to study, but in Ireland, it depends on your score. And in Switzerland, I was learning about they have an apprentice program for a lot of people who don't go to college because, you know, you might not need an art history degree, but you might be able to make a living learning to weld. So they move more people toward that. There's not an easy fix in any direction.
There isn't, and I do think that how this would impact the way money flows in our economy is something that I'm sure is going to come up. It's a very dramatic move, and it reminds me of what happened about 20-some years ago, and I can't even remember. I think this was Bob Dole running for president when he announced that people would be able to sell their homes and keep up to $250,000 tax-free. And it became this kind of rallying cry, and indeed, you know, he didn't win the election, but that idea got picked up and actually built into the platform, into our tax platform. And today, also, there is no rollover replacement rule. You do get to keep $250,000 up to $500,000 if you are married, tax-free, when you sell your home. And you can do that every 24 months.
Elise Glink, thinkglink.com, bestwhenhemoves.com as well. Thanks again for sitting in last week, and we'll talk again soon.
You bet. Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. So it's not the best reputation to have, but Illinois is known for having some of the highest real estate taxes in the country, and there seems to always be talk of tax hikes. But it all really matters where you live. Greg Hines of Cranes has broken down the most important takeaways for Chicagoans for the upcoming tax changes. Different neighborhoods are going to see different adjustments, like the Lakeview area seeing a 10% change, while Hyde Park area is looking at a 3% change. This is important stuff to know, because being informed about the changing times is the best thing you can do for yourself. And being informed about the upcoming football season is also a very important thing for a lot of Americans. And getting to those football games just got a bit easier. United Airlines will begin specialized flight paths for football hotspots like South Bend to Atlanta or Columbus to Lincoln, Nebraska. Good thing they're not bringing the football games on the flight.
Blue 42, blue 42.
I need more leg room, I need more leg room.
Exit row,
Set, hike.
I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Amy Guth is in the studio, the host of The Daily Gist. And, well, Amy, are you okay? Were you injured by...
I mean, injury is a strong word, but there were scooters all over the place this weekend. You know, the e-scooter is all over the place, all around town. But one was parked right in front of my gate, and we're like, the only way out of my gate was to crawl over it, and it... I wasn't as graceful as I could have been about it.
So you're okay.
I'm good.
What do you make of the scooter so far?
You know, I've seen a ton of them out. I think it's a great move for the environment to see people doing this and sharing the scooter. It does fix something that people have griped about with Divvy, and that was like, can I just sort of, and Zipcar even, right? That Zipcar, you have to return it to a specific location. Right. Divvy, you have to find out where another Divvy docking station is. You can just sort of drop them.
Drop them in front of Amy Guth's gate.
In front of my gate.
No problem whatsoever.
Right.
And so the National Safety Council, Chicago is just the latest city to become involved. Why is the NSC, they're weighing in today with some recommendations. It seems like... they might have come along a few months ago.
Yeah, maybe a little sooner on that one. Yeah, so the National Safety Council is actually based right here in Itasca, and they came out with some pretty common sense things you'd like to think, like wear a helmet, don't, you know, make sure you're visible at night, don't be an idiot, only, you know, right. Be where you're supposed to be.
Think of anything your mom would say when you were going on your bike.
Absolutely, wear a sweater, or do those, you know, all those things. But that said, this weekend I saw so many people out on scooters and kind of like the bike version of it and all these things. And I got to admit, I did see some
drunk
judgment.
People, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some people that appeared to be drunk, riding a couple people on a scooter at a time. People just kind of like not really obeying traffic.
And that's the real problem, because that's going to have, I don't know what to, that's too bad. And I think that's what led to the fatality in Nashville.
Sure.
And I don't know how you stop that. I don't think you should keep everyone else from having a scooter. But man, I mean, think of it. If you come out and you're seeing double anyway, and all of a sudden you're riding a scooter across an intersection, that's dangerous.
Bad scene. Yeah, I mean, I think you should kind of use the same common sense of getting behind a wheel. If you're going to operate any kind of vehicle and you've been drinking, maybe get an Uber on that one.
So is this coming up on the Wintrust? No, this is it. It just did come up on the Wintrust business.
It did.
Is it coming up on the Daily Gist today?
Yes, it did. It also did there. It came up there as well. Also today, I'm talking
I'm sorry, it's me. My tongue isn't working yet. I'm still on vacation.
It's fine. You're on vacation mode. It's all good. Also today, I spoke with the publisher and executive editor of Cranes, Chicago Business, Jim Kirk, about the new Cranes Forum project that is really interesting. It's a month-long deep dive around big topics in the business community, and they kicked it off on Friday with the pension crisis. And so there's a ton of reporting, and two that I think is really interesting. It's free for anyone to access.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so there's no firewalls there.
Correct.
Check that out. And subscribe to The Daily Gist as well. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much.